right. I am going to invite us to remain seated because before we get into our reading, I want us to note kind of where we sit in Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. For the last few weeks, we've been moving through chapter by chapter through Ephesians, and we stand at a bridge today within the letter to the Ephesians. And this bridge is contained in one word. And it's a word that shows up often in our scriptures, but often stays kind of behind the curtain a little bit. It's not a word that announces itself too loudly, but shows up in many of our scriptures. And it's this word, therefore. Therefore is a word we hear often in scripture. And over coffee hour, one of David Knutson was here at the 8:30 service, and he said he had an English teacher growing up that whenever you hear the word therefore, you always have to ask what it's there for. Now, that was good. I hadn't heard that one yet. So we see this word come up often in Scripture, and it's a bridge that is used to connect proclamations about God or words about who God is with kind of moral or ethical teachings about how those words about God guides our life together. So we think back to like the story of Exodus, right? Back in the Old Testament, the word that God uses when giving the Ten Commandments to God's people. Right? The Ten Commandments start out, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. Right? This word is often a bridge that connects words about God with how we are to live those words about God out in our life together. It connects our theology or our words about God with our ecclesiology, which is just a big word for how we gather together as the church. And I call it a bridge very intentionally because calling it a transition or any other word can fool us into thinking that we're leaving behind all that is past. And this couldn't be further from the truth. I call it a bridge because bridges allow traffic both ways. Whenever we think about how we act within community, we must always remember what God has done for us. And so we continue to move back and forth across this bridge of sorts to remember who God is for us and how that bears out in how we are with one another. So in light of all that has come before, in light of the first three chapters in Ephesians, where we hear about the grace and love of God, we hear all about the wonderful, extravagant mercy that God has, we cross the bridge together, knowing that it's not a one-way bridge. But instead, we go back and forth from the proclamation about who God is and how we enact that or how we bear witness to who God is in our lives, in our relationships, and in the way we are as God's people in the world. So having said all of that, we come to our reading for today, which is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, where Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in all. Just want to stop for a moment because if we remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about this oneness that Paul writes about, and we remember that oneness doesn't mean sameness, right? When Paul talks about us being one, he doesn't mean that we should all be the same, but rather that we bring all of the gifts that God has given us, we bring who God has created us to be together in community and we're united as one, but that doesn't mean that we all have to be the same. And he acknowledges that as we go on. He says, Jesus himself granted that some are apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And by the way, he doesn't mean for that to be an exhaustive list, right? There are so many ways that our gifts can be used to serve God. But he says, all of these things, God, the gifts that God has given us are used to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to measure the fullness of the stature of Christ. And if we remember last week, Pastor Aaron talked about what maturity means in this context, that maturity isn't connected to knowledge, that maturity isn't measured by how much we know, but by how often we love. That maturity, for Paul, isn't measured by knowledge, but by love. And so Paul continues, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. And I'll have more to say about that one in a minute. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. So then, which is just another way of saying therefore, right? So then, putting away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Those who steal must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor, doing good work with their own hands so as to have something to share with those in need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, we hear that word again, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As is always the case when Paul gets into the moral teachings of his letters, there are many ways to go, right? Whole sermons could be done on one sentence when we get into these teachings about how we are to live. But the word that keeps coming up for me is this word, therefore, the bridge that connects God's action with our action. These are the things that God has done, therefore, these are the things we ought to do because of what God has done. Right? This is that two-way bridge that goes back and forth. These instructions that Paul gives can be good guideposts in thinking about how we interact with one another, especially how we act with those who are different from us. Throughout Ephesians, Paul has talked about unity with people who come from different religions, different customs, different beliefs, different values, right? And he's noted that all of these differences can cause hostilities. I think we see that bearing out in our world, yes? Yeah. All these differences can cause hostilities, which Christ came to break down. Over the last couple weeks, we've talked about how Christ came to break down the dividing walls that are the hostilities between us. And Paul's instructions then are guideposts in how we act toward those with whom we're called to be united, even when that is across difference. Because God has done this, here is a path for living together as the body of Christ. As followers of Jesus, God's action and our action are forever linked together. And there's a danger that comes when we forget which one of them leads. Right? I have a feeling that we all have stories, some maybe very personal to us, about times in our lives where we or those around us have let our actions or our wants or our desires take the driver's seat. Right? Where we flip the order and our actions come first. Right? This is called sin. We confess to it at the beginning of worship every week. Right? It happens. Often when our actions or our wants or our desires take the lead, we're given opportunities to reflect and see where we have gone off course and repent or turn and go in a different direction. And sometimes we heed that call and we turn and we go in a different direction. And sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes maybe, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there can be a propensity or there can be a chance for people to double down in those cases, right? Where we're called to go in a different direction and we hear that, but we say, that's hard, I don't want to do that, so we double down. And we rationalize and say, oh, this must be what God wants. This is what I want, it's my want, my desire. This must be what God wants as well, when really it's our own selfish desires that are leading the way. As followers of Jesus, God's action and our action are forever linked together, but there's a danger that comes when we forget which one leads. And it's always God who leads. Always God who goes before us, making a pathway of love and service toward God and toward our neighbor, and then calls us to follow that path. And this is where we come back to verses 14 and 15, where Paul writes, "We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery or their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." And the truth is that there are a lot of voices in our culture, in our society, that are competing for your allegiance. There's a lot of craftiness in deceitful scheming in our world that says political allegiance is more important than our allegiance to God. Or our striving for money or power or success is more important. Or that being right is more important. There are forces in our society that toss us to and fro, trying to convince us that these are the things that are actually the most important. I'm not sure if these are the same things that we're tossing back the Ephesian church, that we're tossing them to and fro. But humans being human, I bet they showed up in some way, shape, or form in their community as well. Right? These divisions that come about when we're living together in community. And so Paul writes, he says, "But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." And the truth of our world is that our money can't save us, or our power can't save us, or being right can't save us, and certainly our politics or any particular political candidate can't save us. They may bring a sense of glory or euphoria for a time, but that time is limited. it often leads to others being hurt. As followers of Jesus, God's action and our action are forever linked together, and there's a danger that comes when we forget which one leads. It's always the mercy and grace of God and what God has done for us that leads our way. We are then called to follow, sharing with those in need, building up so that our words may give grace to those who hear, and putting away from us all bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, and all malice. Can you imagine what would happen if the church committed to giving up all bitterness, wrath, anger, slander, and malice? I'm not talking about just our church here, but the church in general. If all of us committed to putting away from us all of those things in our world. Instead, we're given these marching orders. Right? This is where Paul concludes this. Put away from us all of those things, and instead, he says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a sacrifice to God. For that call, for that command, and for the way that God has led us in love, that we say thanks.